In the last two decades, only one American pianist has won the gold medal at the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition. That man is John Nakamatsu, gold medalist at the 97 Cliburn, and he's here with me now in NPR Studio 4A. His CD of solo Brahms came out this past fall on the Harmonia Mundi record label. He's in the middle of a very busy year with a wide variety of music, more than half a dozen concertos he's playing with orchestras, chamber music, solo recitals. John Nakamatsu, very nice to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
We've got some music by Franz Liszt and more that you're going to play for us, beginning with a Scarlatti sonata, music that he would have written for the harpsichord. Do you think about that when you're playing this on piano? Do you change anything you do at the piano because it was not written for piano?
Well, you know, when you play Scarlatti, I mean, you're almost playing a transcription these days when you play it on a modern instrument, because you cannot possibly replicate what Scarlatti wants on our modern pianos. So you have to, I think, take advantage of what our instrument does in terms of sonority and expressiveness and dynamics, with a constant eye on the past. I think you have to, you know, heed the original intent of the music, and, you know, can't romanticize it to a point where it's unrecognizable.
So what are you doing with this on piano that Scarlatti never could have imagined?
Well, for example, I mean, the main difference is that you cannot make very gradual crescendos or decrescendos in a very big way on the harpsichord. And there's, of course, the sustaining pedal on the piano, and just the tremendous dynamic level of our instrument. You know, that's all very different. And whether or not he would have liked that is a question. So we just hope and, you know, do our best.
Yeah, it's kind of a moot point, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're playing Scarlatti on the piano, so make the best of it at the piano.
That's right.
Well, let's hear how you do that. Scarlatti's Sonata in E Major, Kirkpatrick Listing 531, music by Domenico Scarlatti, played for us by not harpsichordist, pianist John Nakamatsu.
Thank you.
John Nakamatsu playing music by Domenico Scarlatti, a sonata in E major, Kirkpatrick Listing 531. And John, hearing you play that right after you were talking about making it a piano piece kind of changed the way I listened to it. It was interesting. It seemed like you were making a point of not letting the bass end of the piano, which can be such a massive sound, you were making a point of not letting that overwhelm the high end, the more melodic part of the music.
Right. I think, you know, if anything, what you need to do on the modern piano is to retain the lightness and the at least somewhat of a textural clarity that the harpsichord by nature has, and we don't.
John Nakamatsu is joining us. And John, you've got music by Franz Liszt, who a century and a half ago was doing things that at the piano that sometimes nobody but him could do.
Right.
Now, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of pianists around the world who can play Liszt and play it pretty well. Does this mean piano teaching has gotten better? Pianists have gotten better?
No, you know, I always think that for us, I think we have it a little easier because, you know, even just having that music in your ear, even having a style or a knowledge of an existing form already puts you at a step up. You know, when you are playing something for the first time, and you understand this when you start working on brand new music that's just been written that you are premiering, you understand what it's like to have to create it. And that word is used in a very literal sense because you are doing something that has never been done before, not only like as you are going to do it in that moment, but period. And because of that, you have no preconceived notion as to what it should be like. And people who played Liszt in the day of Liszt would approach it from this almost blank slate kind of approach.
What you're going to play for us is a valse impromptu, a waltz impromptu.
Right.
Now, there were a lot of composers, especially Chopin, writing waltzes on the piano, but he took it to the next step, a waltz impromptu, doing something kind of at the spur of the moment, as if it were being improvised with
right.
the waltz. So take us into that world. If we were in the world of Franz Liszt, what would we be hearing in this piece that we had never heard before?
Well, Liszt probably was referencing the works of his contemporaries. For example, the impromptu, the waltz, those are forms that Chopin himself made very, very popular and almost his own. So combining the two almost gave Liszt the freedom to kind of open this up into a very playful, very pianistic world that hints at Chopin, but is still pretty much Liszt when you come down to it. And I think that's his own personal stamp. It's a great kind of light, airy, fun piece.
So even though the word waltz, valse, is in the title of this,
you probably shouldn't dance to it necessarily. Yeah. You'd be running around the dance floor. It's more the dancing piano and not the dancing feet.
Right. You couldn't really be anywhere but in a concert hall.
I would think so. Yeah.
All right. Let's hear it. The valse impromptu, the waltz impromptu by Franz Liszt, played for us by our guest, John Nakamatsu. Thank you. That piece is just a treat.
Oh, yeah. That's just a great piece.
Yeah, that's real fun. Thank you very much for bringing that in and playing that piece. John, you won the Van Cliburn competition in 1997, which changed your life completely. 8 years ago, you were teaching German. How old were the kids you were teaching?
High school.
High school.
Yep.
You're teaching
all
high
years.
School German. Mm-hmm. And you won the competition, and everything changed for you. It might seem pure insanity to ask this question, but I wonder, is there any part of you that thinks, boy, if I hadn't won that, I'd get to stay home more, I'd have a more predictable life. It's a wonderful thing to win, but it comes with a burden of expectation. Is there any part of you that ever thinks, I wish I hadn't won the Cliburn gold medal?
I don't think so. Well, there are parts of me that, you know, long for the day when I was in the classroom. I trained to teach language, and so there's a part of me that misses academics, that misses being on a faculty, and that misses being with students all the time. But really, I mean, I feel so fortunate to have the opportunity to do this now full-time, and I'm very grateful, and I wake up every morning thinking I'm very lucky to be doing this.
You have some brand new music to play for us, or relatively new music to play for us now.
Sure.
Music by Loris Chekhnovorian, an Armenian composer born in Iran, actually, in 1935.
Yes.
From a set of fantastic dances, something called the Lyric Dance. Mm-hmm. What is the sound of this piece that we're about to hear?
Well, you know, if it's true that you can't escape who you are, then Chekhnovorian is probably the prime example of that, because his music, in whatever form it is, takes on a feeling of Armenian identity, of growing up in the Middle East, of being educated at a time when the Western arts were very popular in Iran, in parts of the Middle East. But also, you know, that it's infused with things that are not part of Western arts. You'll notice in this particular dance, the rhythm, the use of pattern repetition, harmony, it's all very characteristic of what you might deem Middle Eastern or Armenian.
Well, let's hear this lyric dance by Loris Chekhnovorian from a set of fantastic dances. Our guest in NPR Studio 4A is pianist John Nakamatsu. A Lyric Dance by Loris Chekhnovorian, and yes, I will spell that name for you in just a moment, from a set called The Fantastic Dances by Chekhnovorian. John Nakamatsu played that for us. Chekhnovorian, T-J-E-K Navorian. First name, Loris. Loris Chechnavorian. John, how did you come across... This is not something everybody plays. How did you come across music by Chechnavorian?
Chechnavorian grew up in Iran in the time that the Shah was importing a lot of great teachers from Europe and the West to form an important music conservatory in Tehran. And my piano teacher, who I started with when I was six, also grew up in Iran at the exact same time that Chechnavorian did and went to the conservatory and knew him there and knew of his music. So I had heard all these stories about him as a composer and as a conductor as well, but never really had any contact with him until the year 2001 when he came to the United States to conduct the San Francisco Opera. You know, it's wonderful when you have questions to be able to ask a composer, you know, or send a composer an email and say, what do you mean by this? Or what is this? Because you can't really do that with Beethoven these
not,
days.
Not quite as easily.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you for sharing with us music by Loris Chechnavorian.
I think it's
and
great.
And great to see you again. The new Brahms CD is out right now on the Harmonia Mundi record label, and you'll be going into the studio to record some Franz Liszt,
right.
And that'll be the CD coming out next year. John Nakamatsu, very nice to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
And there's also a CD of John Nakamatsu at the 1997 Van Cliburn competition. From that CD, this is John Nakamatsu in concert in Fort Worth in the spring of 1997, part of his gold medal performance at the Cliburn competition. In just a moment, a concert in New York as the French Resistance goes Baroque. That's next on NPR's Performance Today.